Hi, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Homeward Path Podcast. This is a show by me, Adam, an MTG dad for MTG parents, and anybody else who wants to listen. I am not an exclusive person, and this is not an exclusive show. So, this past weekend, we had a standard Grand Prix that I really don't want to talk about because we are literally on the precipice of standard rotation. There are no more major events before the end of the... before this next set comes out, there's no more major events before the format rotates. So I'd like to talk about the other thing that happened in, big worldwide Magic news, and that is the reveal of the Guilds of Ravnica mechanics and a couple of the cards that were revealed. So some of that was exciting. I'd like to talk about that. And then this week, I finally got to go play Magic again. It's been entirely too long. It's been since the Modern 1K, for those keeping score. And, man, it felt good to get out and sling some cardboard again. I played my Modern F&M locally and did about as well as I was expecting to, given circumstances. But it was still good to get out. There's still some things to unpack from it, things I can take away, things that I can share. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible. First of all, ConstructedCriticism.com, the network, the home base, if you will. They are fantastic. Check out all of their stuff. Do it. The main show, Constructed Criticism, is the professional perspective on Standard, Modern, Legacy, and a segment each week devoted to how you can improve at Magic or life. So, check it out. Just do yourself that favor if for some ungodly reason you haven't done so yet. And on balance, if you are more of a Pauper player, or if you are interested in potentially pursuing the Pauper format, check out Common Knowledge, because they are the closest thing we can get to the same thing as Constructed Criticism, but for Pauper. So, do yourself a favor, check those guys out. We also have streaming content with the Trophy Mages. It's entertaining, it's fun. Just check it out. Do it. Just do it. And speaking of things you need to do, check out our sponsor at inkedgaming.com. Use the promo code CCMTG10 at checkout and get 10% off your order, and buy all of the playmats and dice bags and mouse pads, and they have all the stuff. They have all of the accessories you could possibly need to show off when you are housing your cards. And we can give you a small discount, and you can finally, with this website, get that playmat that you can't find anywhere, because you can get a custom design done. So just do it. Just check it out. It's well worth your time. There's a few that I'm looking at from the website myself, so I've got to make some decisions. Now, before I dive into all this other stuff, I wanted to clarify something that I mentioned in an episode a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about going through some personal stuff that would pull me largely away from Magic for the next month or two, and I'm finally comfortable divulging the reasoning behind that. We are in the process of buying a house that is within a block of my LGS. It is right smack in the middle of town. I can walk to the vast majority of everything I need to go to. It is perfect for our growing family. And that's what we are working on. That's why I have not been playing as much Magic as I normally would be. But we are finally almost in a position to be able to start moving. So, we're excited. Anyway, moving on. We had the Grand Prix, and again, I'm not super excited to talk about it. It was standard. It was, a lot of red-black, a lot of blue-black mid-range, and a lot of blue-white control. And I'm sure there were other things, but that's really all I took away from it. It's the snapshot of the format right at the end of it. It's fine. If you're like me and your LGS is not playing a ton of standard right now, is not going to be playing a ton of standard between now and the format rotation, just don't worry about it. Otherwise, Constructed Criticism will likely do a better job breaking that data down than I could possibly hope to. So check them out. Anyway, we got Guilds of Ravnica spoilers over the weekend, though. That was exciting. We got the mechanics unveiling. And guys, we're getting some good mechanics. We're getting one that's kind of iffy. The one returning mechanic is Convoke. Well, there's two returning mechanics, I suppose. There's Convoke and there's Hybrid Mana and Split Cards. Like, all of those are returning mechanics. Convoke occupies an interesting space going into a standard format that may or may not end up defined by Goblin Chain Whirler. Like, the one we were in just now has been, but I don't know if the one we're going into will be. It's certainly going to be a pretty good role player, but I don't know how good it's going to be based on how much pull there is to go into other colors for your red decks. Whether it's blue for the jumpstart cards or the, you know, some of the wizards out of Izzet to kind of let Adelies have a time to shine, or it's white for the synergies, whatever Boros is doing. We'll get to that in a minute. But Convoke is in a weird spot because historically, it's been a mechanic that's been average, and like one card has been considered fantastic, while all the rest of them have been just okay. And while one of the spoilers we got looks fantastic, and that being the functional, like, Ixalan's Binding, that instead of having the clause where you shut down that card, you have Convoke so you can sometimes cast it for free. Like, that card's going to be pretty good. But the buy a box promo is not good at all. It has this magical power of getting chump blocked while you get raced from the other side of the table. And I know we have a format with Fling and Thud in it, but I'm just not excited about it. And Convoke as a mechanic is largely at its peak in Limited. Once in a while, you'll have a card that breaks out in Standard. Like, we saw a little bit of play out of Sprout Swarm, both in Standard and Pauper. Just, by and large, it's not a super exciting mechanic in constructive formats, because in order to leverage the thing effectively, you have to have a board state. That's just not something that typically happens. You know, Court of Calling is good because it goes and finds you specific cards. None of the Convoke cards other than that have got that kind of utility. So the deal with a Convoke card for me, the same as any other cost reduction mechanic ever, is on some level, I have to be comfortable paying the upfront cost for it. And that's what makes the kind of the O-ring, I believe it's called Tribunal. It's some kind of Tribunal. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it's a 4-drop enchantment that exiles a non-land permanent. But it is this 4-drop enchantment has Convoke. And you're comfortable already. We've already established in the last 2 years that as Standard players, we are comfortable paying 4 mana to exile target non-land permanent, because we've been doing it for the last 2 years. Between Cast Out, Ixalan's Binding, and Vraska's Contempt, we've been very comfortable paying 4 mana to do that. But more than that, sometimes you get to play it for cheaper, and that's good. That's the kind of Convoke card we need more of if the mechanic is going to be good and Standard. Now, the next mechanic, I love the new Dimir mechanic, because it enables both of the mechanics that are going to follow it in this episode, but Surveil is a better scry. We are a Standard format that's going to have Search for Iskanta, and we have been very happy to play that card both for the front and the backside. The front side offers a little bit of card selection, a little bit of graveyard utility. If you're playing graveyard synergies, it gets better. And that's basically what Surveil is. Surveil is a variable form of the front half of Search for Iskanta. Cards that have Surveil give you look at the top X cards, where X is the number after Surveil. And you can put any number of them into the graveyard and the rest back on top. That's fantastic. That mechanic is great. First of all, I love, as someone who's always been a little bit of a fan of the Dimir, even when their mechanical identity was Milieu or, you know, Cypher, I've always been a fan of, like, the flavor of the guild. Finally getting a playable mechanic for them, Transmute notwithstanding, there's been a handful of Transmute cards that were really good in the context of their formats, but Getting a mechanic that is not just playable but is very good in Surveil is very exciting to me. And the fact that it, you know, enables some graveyard synergies, like this is a standard, this is, Guilds of Ravnica also previewed the return of Narcomoeba to standard, and we have Surveil cards and we have Explore cards to help turn it on. Like, that's going to be fun. That's going to be a thing. I can't wait to try it out. But the other thing that Surveil helps enable is our next mechanic from the Izzet, which is Jumpstart. Jumpstart is like the hybridization between Flashback and Retrace. So for, you know, the some of the cards that have been previewed, we've gotten for one blue-blue, copy target creature you control. In other words, put a token into play that's a copy of target creature you control. And it has Jumpstart. So you can cast it for the front half for one blue-blue and make a dude. Make a copy of a dude you control. And then for one blue-blue and discard a card, you can do that again from your graveyard. So it gives you the utility of flashback spells that we, as someone who has played a fair amount of Modern lately, I really like flashback spells. But it's like flashback spells where you're not priced into the back half or priced into the front half, dependent upon what it is. Like, Lingering Souls, I've had a love-hate relationship with. It's either the best card in my deck or the worst in Modern. And I think that's going to be the case with a lot of these Jumpstart cards. Either you're comfortable paying full price on both ends or you're not. And that's going to be the defining factor. Like the draw a card for one and a blue at instant speed that has Jumpstart, I'm okay with that. I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. It's another cantrip. It's something I can dump off of a Surveil effect and feel comfortable flashing back later. Or it's something that I can, at the end of your turn, we've been playing Hieroglyphic Illumination for a little while, and that's basically what you're doing here if you're playing both halves at the end of your opponent's turn. You're paying four to draw two cards. So it's something I'm comfortable doing. So I really like the Jumpstart mechanic, and I love how it synergizes with Surveil if you want to perhaps bleed some Izzet and Dimir together and build maybe, I don't know, Grixis? Nicol Bolas, the Ravager, is a real, real good magic card. And we've got a smattering of like control elements between Dimir and Izzet that potentially will be very good together. So I like the idea of going that route. The next mechanic is for the Golgari, and I kind of hit the nail on the head on this one when I was talking about a potential deck for post-rotation and preparing for rotation, when I said green-black is going to have a mechanic that cares about your graveyard. That's just historically what they've always done with Golgari, and this one is no exception. The Golgari mechanic is Undergrowth. It's just a keyword shorthand for cards that care about the number of creatures in your graveyard. So the removal spell looks like it's going to be really good. It's for one mana, target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of creatures in your graveyard. That's pretty good. Especially in a format where we're going to have explore creatures. The Golgari historically have got some kind of graveyard enabler. There's the 5-drop that replaces your draw with the Grimflayer activation. You look at 3, put any number of them into your graveyard, and then or one into your hand and the other two in the graveyard. Like, that's really good. But the biggest thing is with the explore creatures, you're already kind of interested in playing anyway, in the absence of some of the other things we've had over the last couple of years. In the absence of something like Winding Constrictor, the explore creatures and any amount of graveyard synergy comprise a much more powerful shell than just about anything else you can do in those two colors as a mid-range deck. So having access to a removal spell that will scale as the game goes along is really good. You know, it's kind of like Harness Lightning that we've played off and on for the last 2 years. That card has been a Terminate at times, and at other times it's just been another Abrade. That, you know, sometimes it scales up and kills a bigger thing, but a lot of the time you're comfortable paying 2 mana for 3 damage. Well, this is a 1-mana spell that you're comfortable trading with your opponent's 1 and 2 drops, but you also like later in games when you're exchanging resources with your opponent being able to cast this and kill like a 5 or 6 drop. You know, being able to get a huge tempo swing later in the game by virtue of just doing what your deck wants to do, that's something I'm in on. And again, it synergizes with Surveil because you can put the cards you want in the graveyard that also help to power these effects up. So there's a lot to like between the interplay between those three mechanics. And then we have the Boros mechanic, which is just kind of out there. The mechanic is called Mentor. Whenever a creature with Mentor attacks, you target a creature with less power, and by the time the trigger resolves, if that creature still has less power, put a +1/+1 counter on it. So it's a mechanic that rewards you for going wide by helping you to go tall. And I kind of like that. I look forward to seeing what kind of legends we get with that kind of text on them, because I think the Mentor mechanic is going to be really intriguing in Brawl. As somebody who likes Commander but has not quite bitten the Brawl bug yet, like, I think there might be something fun to do there. But the mechanic is going to be really good for kind of the style of red decks we've had over the last couple of years, where you're trying to kind of curve out a little bit and make each of your threats individually powerful. That's going to be easier to do when you can send your guy sideways, send your creature sideways, and load counters onto the ones that stay behind. And it will take some kind of finagling to get your triggers right to make sure you can maximize them, but it's something they've already covered in the Mechanics Reveal article on Wizards. So check it out. Do that. Anyway, that kind of wraps up the vast majority of it. Another kind of big takeaway from the Guilds of Ravnica spoilers, we're getting Shocklands. You know, nobody's particularly surprised by that, but that's what's happening. We're getting those to pair with all the check lands that we've got in Standard. So we're going to have pretty good mana again in Standard. Three colors of mana is going to be close to seamless, especially once we get the winner set and get the rest of our Shocklands. So, you know, that's something to plan for. Also, if you were interested in buying into Modern and you're wanting to do it now, just wait. Shocklands are going to go down. That's going to save you some money. Do that. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, guys. The set looks intriguing. Now, speaking of intriguing, so are some of the playmats at our sponsor from inkgaming.com. Check them out. Use that promo code. Save your 10%. Get your cool stuff and show it off. Anyway, moving on. I finally got to play Magic this week. My wife specifically scheduled herself off work early enough to make sure she could get home so that I could go play FNM. If that's not love, I don't know what is. I went up there with the intention of playing. For those of you who didn't pay attention, I put a Twitter poll out. I was going to play Blue-Red Prowess, but someone needed to borrow a deck in order to play. And between Mardu Pyromancer and Blue-Red Prowess is infinitely easier to understand if you just draw a hand and try to figure out how to kill your opponent. So I loaned it out and I played Mardu. And lo and behold, the Blue-Red Prowess deck won in the hands of local game store hero Zach Morgan. And I finished 2-1 and in third place behind the person that beat me. But we had a good time. It was well worth the hours that I spent. I played against Blue-White Control, I played against Dredge, and I played against the Mirror, the loss being to Dredge. The loss to Dredge was in large part due to the fact that I did not have good Graveyard Hate in the sideboard. I don't have the expensive Graveyard Hate cards, and I have not nailed down which one I think lines up the best that is not expensive. I don't have the Leyline of the Void. I don't have the Gravedigger's Cage, which is just bad for Mardu anyway. Rest in Peace is just bad for Mardu anyway. Like, I don't have the good Graveyard Hate cards. I don't have Surgical Extraction. They're cards I have not been able to afford to get yet, so I just have not. That's just an angle that I have ignored, and it has bitten me pretty bad a couple of times now. So going forward, I'm going to have to do something about that. But for that tournament, that was kind of the Achilles heel, was the graveyard hate. Against Blue White and against the Mirror, my super secret technology of playing Bomat Courier and Mardu Pyromancer paid dividends. The card is certifiably insane in that deck. The number of times I got to pick up four cards in the middle of a game when I would have either a bunch of dead cards in my hand against Blue White, I'd have a bunch of removal spells against a board full of Planeswalkers, or when I was playing against the Mirror, I would just be able to gas back up after interacting. Like, that's so good. It is. It is just fantastic. On balance, one of the decisions I made in building the Blue-Red Prowess deck ended up paying big dividends too, and that was the choice of cards I played alongside the suite of cantrips and burn spells. I only played 8 burn spells instead of going up to 10 or 12 like a lot of lists do. Instead of going up to the Sage of Epitir plus Thunderous Wrath combo that was played in the Blue-Red Wizard Prowess on MTG Goldfish, I just played Lightning Bolt, Wizard's Lightning, Serum Visions, Opt, and Charter Course as cantrips, and then I played Bounce Spells, and those things paid off in a big way, because Zach played against the Mirror. He played against Mardu Pyromancer in round 1, and the fact that he was able to Echoing Truth a board full of elemental tokens ended up winning him the match. Then he played against Infect, where Vapor Snag on a creature with Vines of the Vastwood on the stack ended up winning him a game, because it scored him a 5-for-1. The creature had, you know, 4 pump spells on it. Zach goes to Zach attempted to point a burn spell at it in response to a pump spell. His opponent plays Vines of the Vastwood to try to protect his creature, and Zach had the Vapor Snag to make you pick it up in response to clean the board up, not die, and kill his opponent on the backswing the next turn. And then in the matchup against Dredge, he was a proactive deck that, you know, with cards like Echoing Truth, cards like Vapor Snag, and then the Bolt Sweep, being able to clear out attackers enough to allow him to race. Like, the deck just looked really good. It looks surprisingly good, and it's one I'm hoping to revisit later. On the whole, my biggest takeaways from this were, I need Graveyard Hate in Mardu bad, and until I get it, I need to play something a little bit more proactive to kind of offset the lack of it, because that's what Zach did, and it worked out great. And I mean, the Blue-Red Prowess deck is better than I thought it was, and I need to work on the upgrade package for that. So that's going to wrap up the main body of the show, guys. Thanks again for listening. I if you want to reach out to the show, you can do so directly on Twitter at HomewardPathMTG. You can do so on Facebook. My name is Adam Spain. You can join the Facebook groups at the Homeward Pathfinders or Constructive Criticism Family. And you can tweet, if you want to support the show, you can do so on patreon.com/homewardpathmtg. And last but not least, if you want to reach out to the show and get some fun stuff featured, you can do so by tweeting us with the hashtag MTGDadJokes. We only had 2 submissions. One was from Spencer Howland, and it was, why are the Izzet always late for meetings? And that's because Niv always misits his exit. And the other was from Kevin McGrath in the Homeward Pathfinders, where he said, what is a Naga's favorite rock band? And he said, AC/DC. Anybody? Oh, come on. It was fun. Anyway, tweet those at the show. We'll enjoy the good laugh together. And I will catch you guys next week, hopefully with some more good stuff to share. Until then, keep at it. And remember to have fun.